This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
Hello and welcome to Soul Story Club podcast. I'm Liz, I'm an actress, a voiceover artist and a rookie farmer.
Hi, I'm Helen, an actress, a new writer and a self-discovery coach.
Each week, we ask our guests to bring their favourite cuppa for a chat as we delve into the most profound moments of their life.
We like the idea of going round to a friend's house, putting the kettle on, having a cuppa, sharing something about yourself in the hope that we learn something about them and also it can inspire somebody else and you feel less alone and more connected.
This is the podcast that unleashes the power of storytelling and how an inspiring open conversation can be. So today's guest, we have got Sophie Grace Holmes. She's a fitness coach, a public speaker, an influencer, an ultra endurance athlete, a nutrition coach, and a businesswoman. But before all that, at the age of 4 months old, she was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis and told that she would only live for 15 years. She now runs a podcast called Leave You Breathless and is honestly one of the most inspirational chats that I feel that we've had on this podcast so far. If you're struggling with motivation today or you need that little kick up the bum to just get on the path that you want to be on, I really believe that today's podcast is the one that you should listen to.
Hello, Sophie. Thank you so much for joining us. We're absolutely, one, excited to have you here and absolutely honoured to have you here as well.
Oh, thank you. I've honestly been looking forward to this all week because having my own podcast, obviously I'm usually the host.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's really nice to actually be on the other side sometimes.
Oh, I like that. I'm so glad you're excited about it and just get to sit back. Well, you don't actually because you're here to share your story. We get to sit back and listen.
I'm hooked on your podcast already.
It is so unbelievable.
Oh, thank you.
The positivity and determination is so infectious. It's unbelievable.
I always leave and I'm like, oh, wow, I feel like we can take on the world.
I'm in the car listening, thinking I'm a real powerful woman driving the car, thinking I can do this.
I can do this. Exactly. Let's climb a mountain.
Yeah, why not? Let's go tomorrow.
I don't know if I could do the things you've done, Sophie.
No, I know.
I love hearing your bits.
I feel like this is so trivial now, but we really have to get to your cuppa first of all before we get into the real nitty gritty of the store. What is that mug? Oh, what does it say? Can you read it out to us?
It says "You and Me" by the sea, and it's got pictures of two dogs on the beach.
Oh my god, cute!
What is it about that cup?
So I own a very mantle golden retriever, and she loves the sea and she loves the beach and she would do anything to get herself down there and go swimming. She takes herself off swimming. I also live on the beach, so it's quite fitting. I love the beach. It's like she's like my spirit animal, basically.
Whereabouts do you live then, if you live near the sea?
Southend in Essex.
So we've stalked your Instagram, basically. You look like you live the dream. And now I hear you live by the sea, so... And you've got dogs. Brilliant.
It's perfect.
Perfect. So what have you actually got in your cuppa? Yeah, what's in your cuppa?
Well, considering it's Friday and it's technically in the afternoon and it's 5 p.m. somewhere, I've actually got red wine.
Our first alcoholic drink on the podcast,
and I don't think it's going to be our last either. You know, well done you, Sophie.
Sometimes you just have to go with these things and do it and think, do you know what, I'm going to do it and today is the day. So you guys are the excuse.
I love being an excuse for someone to just crack open a bottle of red.
And we saw that you got up at 5:30, so technically it's tea time for you.
Yeah, see? Makes sense.
It's Friday night.
5:30 in the morning, how do you do it? And that was for training, right?
Yeah, do you know what? I'm a woman of routine. And for me, if I train or do some form of exercise first thing, the rest of the day goes better. I'm a better person simply by doing that. And so I've just got myself into a routine. And obviously being that I've been in the fitness industry for over 10 years, when I was working in a gym, I was up at that time anyway. So it's kind of ingrained in me to kind of wake up at that time. And actually, there's something really nice about it because nobody else is awake. So it's really peaceful.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, good thinking. It's almost like you're ahead of the day, aren't you? So the rest of the day, it's like whatever you achieve, then you're like, I've already been up, been to the beach with my dogs.
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. And like breakfast was at lunchtime and you feel like you've kind of conquered the day, which is really nice. Firm believer of like winning the first hour of the day and you'll win the rest of the day.
I do love that. My problem is I'll do it for about a week and then I'm like, I just love bed.
It's fair enough.
But for that week, I feel like I can take over the world.
But the problem is my alarm goes off and I think, oh, I can't do it. I got to just get up and go for it, haven't I?
Maybe we should do that, set ourselves a challenge.
I'm up for it.
Even if you just did it three times a week, right, you don't have to do it every day. And just on those days, you do that one thing. Like for me, it's kind of like a form of self-care. I know that if I get myself up, I get myself to the gym session that I have planned, that mentally I feel better. Physically, obviously, I feel stronger because I've been to the gym. And therefore, for me, it's like, you know, before 9 o'clock is my self-care. If I go to the gym, then I can come back, have a nice breakfast, have a coffee, go maybe go for a wander down the beach if it's sunny, or if it's not, if I fancy getting wet, who knows. Or even go for a sunrise swim. There's so many options, and I just think there's so much power to be found in the morning, even if you don't do it every day.
I feel like I'm so motivated to do it. Could you like just record that? Could we play that in the morning and be like, could you just record? Come on, you can do it, girls, get up. And...
yep.
Sophie's our alarm clock.
We're sending you voice notes and you'll be like, no, not today, please.
Yeah. We have obviously not met before, so we've scrolled through your Instagram and I don't know where to start. And I think, would it be okay if you actually introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about ourselves, because I just don't think we could do it justice, to be honest.
Yeah, of course. So obviously I'm Sophie Grace Holmes. My journey is quite unique compared to a lot of people because not only was I born 10 weeks premature, I was also diagnosed at 4 months old with a life-threatening lung disease called cystic fibrosis. And if you don't know what CF is, it's basically the buildup of mucus within your body. And this mucus can cause, especially to your lungs, severe lung damage. And so when I was born, obviously there was less medical advances. And so my parents were told I wouldn't live past 16 years old and basically wouldn't achieve much in life because I'd be in hospital on oxygen, unable to get out of bed. And so for them, especially, I think it felt like bringing up a child to die, which obviously as a parent, that must be one of the most horrendous pieces of information to receive. But little did they know that I wasn't having any of that. And I was determined to obviously defy the odds and prove time and time again, even with various roller coasters that have hit me through the last 30, nearly 31 years, to show that you can actually achieve so much more when you put your mind to it. And I think that's kind of what I get more excited about, because it's like actually amongst the chaos and amongst the hardship, amongst the uncomfortable, you can actually really find out like who you are, what you want, and actually become that person. Whereas if life's too easy, life is actually too hard.
At what age did you understand your diagnosis and have this thought process? Because it takes so much strength to think like that, especially when you're told from almost day one, this is your diagnosis, you won't be able to do this, you will have a life expectancy of 15 years. At what point did you understand what was going on and think, right, this is not going to happen to me?
Do you know what? It's so interesting because for me, obviously, it was normal to take 80 tablets a day. It was normal to have, you know, IV antibiotics from the hospital. And when I was at school, I used to love PE. So I used to push myself against, you know, I can still beat those people in PE. They can't be right. They can't think I've got this disease. They must have got it wrong. And so my benchmark was like, I'm the best person in PE. So therefore, what are they talking about? Despite obviously the extra things that were going on in the background. And then when I was about 19 years old, after a series of events, I actually ended up in hospital in an admission for the first time in my entire life because my lung capacity had gone from 100 to 50% in a matter of months. And I think that was probably the first moment where I was like, oh, okay, like maybe this is true then. And, you know, at the time, the doctors were like, you know, we don't know what we're going to do because we don't know why, nothing's working. And I remember it so well because the doctor came down and sat on the corner of my bed and was like, I'm so sorry, Soph, like, you know, you might only have a couple of years to live.
You were how old, sorry?
19 years old.
Oh, my God. Did you understand what was, I mean, yes, 19, you're still taking on the world. You're still learning what you want to be, what you want to do. Did this fully sink in what was happening?
No, and this is why sometimes I really do believe in the power of naivety, because I completely was like, I don't believe you, though. I know that this is not the best situation, but I know people that have been by far more unwell more often, and yet they haven't been told this. And so me being me... decided to draw up a very long bucket list and decided to go and attempt to summit Mount Kilimanjaro 6 months after this diagnosis.
Wow. I mean, through that adversity that, I mean, I can't even absorb it or take it in, at the fact that, you know, not even to climb a mountain, but Kilimanjaro, like, it's incredible.
Yeah. Let's just go for the biggest.
Yeah, let's do it. Like, the determination to do that is just so inspiring. It's incredible. I'm lost for words, to be honest. I don't know what to ask you or to even justify this.
I know. I feel like I'm just staring at you as in the strength that you've got just to fight. You know, we're just whinging about getting up for the gym, you know, and then there you are thinking, do you know what? I'm going to go and climb one of the biggest mountains. Let's do it.
Do you know what, though? I think until you are faced with something like that, I don't think anyone really knows really how to act, because for me, that was my reaction. I was like, I'm going to prove you wrong. I don't have time to die. I want to live a life. I want to do these things. And at the time, he didn't support it. I found a doctor that did. I went and summited it and then sat on what felt like the roof of Africa and being like, well, I've done this. And they said that I wouldn't do it. So what's next? What do I want my life to look like? And that's when I made the decision to leave a 9-to-5 job. I retrained into fitness. And just as soon as I got that certificate left, which was obviously 10, 11 years ago now, and I haven't looked back since. And there's been obviously various adventures and different things along the way and roller coasters. But that moment in my life, I feel like if it hadn't have happened, I wouldn't be where I am today. So in fact, I'm grateful for the diagnosis because it's given me so much more.
Yeah, I mean, you're living life to the fullest, aren't you? And I guess it's almost having somebody give you that limitation as said, no, I'm going to prove you wrong. And actually given you, do you feel like that's given you that determination to go and take on these challenges?
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things. I think obviously perception and the way you see situations is very dependent upon you as a person. But, you know, there's always a couple of phrases that I always look back on. And one of them is, we only die once and we have the opportunity to live every single day, yet most people live the other way around. And when I'm struggling with decisions, the other one would be, it's the excuses you make today that will be the regrets you have at the end of your life. And so is the decision you're going to make to do or not do something going to cause that regret?
You've had that resilience and determination from a very, very early age. And it's not to minimise that. Like, a lot of people understandably would just flake at that and be like, oh, God, this is too much. It's, you know, actually mentally as well, isn't it? It's so much to override. And you obviously have a lot of resilience. And then as you've got older, you've pushed that boundary to say, right, I'm going to take on a mountain now, and then the next, and the next, and the next. You're an incredible lady, really are.
So you just want to keep going. And like when you've done one challenge, I imagine you think, right, it's just going to get bigger and better.
Yeah, and I think one of the probably worst traits about me is I will do something and then I'll be like, oh, wow, what's next? Rather than like taking it in and being like, oh, wow, like look what I've done, looking back. And I think until you then look back maybe in a couple of years' time, you're like, oh, wow. But you just don't think, because it's like, oh, cool, I've done that. What's next? Rather than like not living in the present as much. And like, so for me, it's like, even like on a day-to-day basis, like I want to live in the present more. So like I try and do that by not having any notifications on my phone, being present in the tasks that I'm doing, whether it be training, whether it be with friends, family, with my dog or whatever, and just having windows of time where you then spend on your phone or your laptop. And that goes for even when I'm doing the challenges, because I'm like, we're too quick to take a picture or a video. But actually, what's more important is the what you absorb in the moment. And I think that's something that these challenges have also made me realise.
And like you say, is that really hard to take the enormity of like what you've actually achieved when you're in your own head until somebody else kind of reflects on it, or like you come on a podcast and you're talking about it and people are like, you are amazing. Is it like so hard to take on the enormity of like actually what you have achieved?
Yeah, because I think a lot of the time I'm like, just get to the end. Like I did a race a couple of years ago where I rode the length of Britain on my bike. So it was end to end in 9 days. And I remember just thinking like, just keep pedaling, like Britain will run out of land. And obviously Britain did run out of land. But at the time, you're too focused on that motion rather than actually being like, oh my God, I saw so many places in the UK that I have never seen, or like so many weathers I'd never dare go on a bike on, or did so many things. And then when you look back, sometimes I scroll back through my Strava and I'm like, oh yeah, I did do that. Because I think sometimes it's so easy to not even really realise that you've done it.
You must have the strongest mind. Do you believe that your state of mind can overcome anything of your body?
I do. And I think what's been really interesting for me actually is obviously where we've had this funny couple of years and not been able to experience life in the same way, I found myself questioning my decisions more, and I found myself kind of being like, but can I do that? And I'm like, no, like the other version of me would have been like, of course you can do it. Why are you questioning it? And I think sometimes that is why we have to get ourselves out there and get really uncomfortable, because actually that's the only place we're going to grow.
Really want to go back to Mount Kilimanjaro. Can you talk us through it? Because you've just breezed past it. Yeah, I did it. Can you just take us back? I want to know everything about it, to be honest. If this whole podcast is about you taking us through it, I'm quite happy about that.
Honestly, it was one of the most, for many reasons, but one of the most amazing adventures that I have done, because for me, it was very much like nobody believed in me apart from myself. And obviously at the time, I wasn't actually that well either. And I didn't know what altitude Sydney felt like. I didn't know whether I would be affected by it. And I'd never really done anything like it before, because previously to that, I had a horse. So I was competing him and I was sprinting on track. So like, this is a very different ball game to those things. But I was like, do you know what? If my life depends on it, I have to do everything in my power to do what I can to get there, because I have to do it for myself. Because if I don't, then what the doctors are saying is right, and I don't want to process that information, basically. And so, you know, Kilimanjaro is an amazing climb, because there's so many different elements to it, because some of them, it almost looks like you're on the moon sometimes. Of it's junk.
Oh
yeah, it's honestly,
God.
Some of it looks like it's in, like, you've come through Jurassic Park. Some of it is like really luscious. Some of it's really not. But I remember when there was a day that we were going through one of the rainforests, and it was like the worst rain of my entire life, and I learned the difference between showerproof and waterproof that day.
Oh my goodness.
And it's safe to say that I didn't have any waterproofs with me. Very unprepared.
Oh no.
And it was one of those things that I took all of my clothes off and like wrung out my clothes, and they were like, well, they won't dry now, so let's hope you've got other clothes.
Oh my God, what did you do?
Luckily, I did have some other clothes, but it was like one of those things. I was like, I'm only 2 days in.
How long does it actually take to do it?
We did it in 6 days.
What?
In the end.
Oh, my God.
But then after that, this is why I always believe in, like, it's going to pour before it shines, in, like, general sense of life. Because obviously there was that day, and it was like the heaviest rain I've ever seen. Like, you know when you're driving in your car and your windscreen wipers are going really fast and you still can't see a thing? It was like that, but walking.
But with no windscreen wipers to get it out of the way.
Unfortunately, no, you should buy those glasses. But then the next day, we woke up and it was like bright sunshine, no clouds. And in the distance, all you could see was Kilimanjaro in like a silhouette where the sun was coming up behind it. And I just remember thinking, like, these are the moments that are worth it, because they're the moments you live for. They're the stories to tell. And, you know, I love going off the beaten track to kind of like discover places in a different way, because it's better for me. I find if you're going to go somewhere where nobody's really going to go. So obviously we went through obviously a series of terrains, and then obviously acclimatization walk, so that you go up a bit higher, you come down, you sleep a bit lower to kind of get you ready. But Summit Night is a night that I don't think I'll ever forget, because you walk all day, so 10 hours of hiking. Then you have your dinner and it's about 5-6 o'clock at night, and you're told, go and get 3 or 4 hours sleep, because we're up at 11 to walk through the night. And bearing in mind, on a mountain, it's minus 21 outside. And the food, obviously, they do their best. I mean, they did make a cake, which is amazing on a mountain.
On a mountain?
Yeah, I know.
How did they bake it?
I don't know, but amazing.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah. This is brilliant.
All these perks that you don't know about when you get there, right?
Yeah.
But I remember, like, we got up, we had, like, a cup of coffee and, like, a ginger nut biscuit. And then they were like, okay, well, let's go. They were like, well, you can't really, firstly, really go to the bathroom because it's so cold that it will probably freeze. Your water will freeze. You can only have this particular mango juice because it was the only thing. But then he was like, your feet are going to go numb. You may see some shooting stars because it's a clear night, but it's going to be a long night.
Oh my God.
Such a roller coaster of emotion.
What did you do about the toilet?
Oh, this would be a big problem for Helen.
Well, you'll be pleased to know that I did go and it was all fine.
Oh, right, okay. I can do it then. I'll put it down on my list.
Yeah, you're cold and, like, you're thinking, I don't really want to pull my trousers down because it's really cold. But It was one of those nights where you really did question everything, like the devil on your shoulder being like, it's okay, you don't have to do it. And then there's the other one being like, oh, but you can do it. And then you're so tired and you're that tired that you're trying not to fall asleep. And it's just all a bit crazy. But what you can see ahead is all the other groups and their head torches leading the way up. So it's like magical. It's like fairyland. And then we actually got to the top four sunrise, which was phenomenal. But it's interesting when you're kind of seeing all your teammates like falling to the side because of sickness. Like some people couldn't get to the top. And you can see the sign like an hour out. And I literally was just like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And then I had a race with a friend of mine, because that's what you do, isn't it, after all of that. And he had a prosthetic leg. And what was quite funny was his military friend was like sat on the floor crying because he was so tired. And then there was obviously me and his other friend. Like, we were like, let's race. We can see the sign. And obviously, like, the altitude is obviously really heavy and things like that. But, you know, we got there. And then I did 10 burpees at the top to celebrate, because when else could you do burpees?
10 burpees? Oh, my God. What?
This is ridiculous. I was about to say, did you ever doubt yourself on that trip? But clearly not. No, it's just, it's mind-blowing. I just can't believe that the push and the drive that you need behind every, just to climb Kilimanjaro alone will be enough, but then let's celebrate with some burpees.
I mean it's not even a mindset, it's strength as well, isn't it? I'm going to talk you through my mountain experience. It was Lake District, Sophie.
Yeah,
Lake District. No, I moaned all the way. Like, I didn't realize that when you climb, all right, I'm going to call it a big hill, not a mountain after we're talking about this, but when you're actually climbing, all you're doing is staring down at the ground for like 4 hours. For me, my experience, you get to the top, you've got to come all the way back down again, which is a challenge in itself.
The down actually I think sometimes is harder because you've relaxed as well and you're like, oh, I've done it.
And I
remember on Kilimanjaro, the top half is like sandy. It's not sand, but it's like that kind of material. And my guide, because obviously we all have these guides, who, by the way, are amazing, because some of them are walking in flip-flops.
Oh, God.
And he literally grabbed my bag and grabbed my hand and put me on this sandboard. So he was like, I was basically like sandboarding down. And we got down to the camp first. He was like, you now get more sleep. And I'm like, oh, thank you.
Oh, my God, that'd be a dream. Could you actually switch off? Like, did your body just go, or were you still like on adrenaline?
Well, I think because I was so determined and I was so like, I'm going to do this because nobody believes in me, that as soon as I did it, that was it. I was like, done.
Wow. That you'd done it. You could tick it off.
And to me, it didn't really matter what happened on the way down as long as I got down in one piece.
Oh, honestly, I'm fully speechless, because just that alone is, I'm lost for words at how incredible you are.
Oh, thank you.
Literally. And physically, how did that affect you with the cystic fibrosis? Obviously, with those altitude problems, did any problems occur?
Do you know what? I've obviously done other mountains ever since, and I've never had altitude problems. And I can only put it down to the fact that where my lungs are so used to having like more lung function, low lung function, and they're just adaptable, I can only put it down to the fact that they did adapt, even though it was obviously hard to breathe. But for me, especially up until the last 18 months where I've been given this different medication, I didn't even know that I was struggling to breathe because I didn't know any different. So for me, perhaps it wasn't as hard mentally or physically because I didn't know any different and I didn't know I was struggling. So I was so like focused on, I'm going to do it because my life depends on it, that you kind of put everything else to the wayside.
What do your parents think now, Sophie? They must be just blown away, so proud.
If I ever come up with like, oh, I've come up with a new challenge, they're like, pass me the wine, so let's sit down, not another one. I think they're obviously very proud, but I think they get obviously still quite scared, because obviously I'm always wanting to beat the next thing, or like wanting to kind of like just see, because I'm fascinated with human capability and what would actually happen if you really just kept building those blocks, to see what people could achieve.
I've just got a reference that my dog is barking. I think she wants to get
in on this chat. Is it your dog?
Should I just go and shut her up quickly?
Go and get her. Yeah, go and get her.
Because it's actually annoying me that she's ruining this moment. I need full focus. Hang on, give me 2 seconds.
We'll just do small talk. That is amazing. Honestly, I was going to ask you a question then, but I'll save it to Liz to come back.
Sorry. She locked herself in the bedroom.
Right, so now we know the dog's sorted. Let's carry on. So I've been through cancer and there was like, I wanted to challenge myself after it. I said to my friends, like, oh, let's do the three peaks. I had the cheek to think I could do three peaks. So my friend suggested just starting with the Lake District, just one small mountain. And yeah, it just wasn't for me, Sophie. So any tips? Got to find something.
Yeah, so find something that you actually think you might enjoy. I think that's one of the biggest things for fitness. It's like people think you should do, I don't know, go to the gym or you should go for a run. But actually, there are so many forms of movement out there. It's just about finding something that you enjoy. It could be with your friends. It doesn't even have to be like extremely strenuous. It's about something that makes you feel good and you find fun.
Yeah, I guess it's about you challenging yourself rather than comparing yourself to other people and what they've done. It's like, well, you might not enjoy that. That might not be for you.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's one of the biggest things when obviously I share things on social media. It's like, this is what I love and this is what I love to put myself through. But it doesn't mean that it's something that you should do and you should feel inadequate if you don't want to do it.
Days, Sophie, where you just think, ah, oh, from what you're saying, I feel like you've got such a strong mindset, and you must have some great people around you to help with that sometimes, because sometimes the outside world can influence, and not in a good way sometimes. But do you ever think, or just have a little moment where you think, I'm exhausted? Or are you always on that up, on that rise, and just keeping going with that, I can do this mentality?
No, of course, I am still human. I wish I was superhuman. And I think it's important to note, like, everybody has those days, whether they share it or not. And I think it's about how you deal with those days and about how you bring yourself back to a level of, no, I can do this. Because life happens. Life is a rollercoaster of ups and downs. And it's the downs that obviously give you the ups. And without either, you would just be very flat, which nobody really wants. Like, it's about knowing how to kind of have the routines and the mechanisms in place and to forgive yourself and to know it's okay if you're not productive. It's okay if you just sit and enjoy your favourite food or go for a walk or watch some Netflix and not to beat yourself up. Because I think we live in a world where we feel like we should be productive and useful all the time. But actually, sometimes doing nothing is the most productive thing of all, because that's where you get your spark back. That's where you rest and get, you know, the energy to then do the things that you want to do. Because I think if you burn yourself out, which I think all of us probably have done and will continue to do, because we apparently never learn, we always try and see if we can push those limits, that's when you become uninspired and that's not going to give you your best work.
How do you do that, though, when you have those moments? Do you just think, right, I need a rest, I need to just relax, and then you know that the next day or whatever you will have recharged? Do you just know that that's kind of going to be that pattern?
Yeah, I mean, for example, this week has been a very challenging week. And so after numerous conversations, I've been like, you know what, I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm not going to do any more than that. And I'm going to give myself lots of time off to do things that I love, because every single day, I think it's really healthy to have things in your day that help you. So for me, it's I do a form of self-care. I make sure I've got some time out. I count my gratitudes. I do something that perhaps I don't want to do or something that's harder, because I think that's where you can grow and you can learn that you can do the hard things. But I also listen to the need of what I need that day, because not every single day is the same and not every single day needs to be 100 miles an hour or ticking 100 things off a list. It's more about you as a person and to know, like, whatever you're working towards will happen at the right time. And it's in, you've got to kind of try and enjoy the journey and the process and everything you're kind of doing, because otherwise you'll get to the end or get to that goal and you'll be like, but what then happened? Like, I just was so focused. And, you know, it's also really important to have a life outside of doing your career, even though, you know, building a business and having all of that is super hard work. It takes so many hours. But you also need a switch-off button, right?
Absolutely. I completely agree. I always come back to sometimes social media. We only ever see the best of people, don't we? And really, we should see people having that time to collect their thoughts. And that's when they become, I think, their most creative, when they've had a bit of downtime and can think of their best things to do.
Yeah, and I do think sometimes life does keep throwing things at you until you make a change, if it's something not right for you or something that you've been wanting to do because something else isn't serving you. I do believe there are curveballs that keep going and coming and coming and coming until you decide to have that leap of faith.
Yeah, I like that. What do you want people to know? Like, is there something you want people to know about you? Because I know, you know, you've obviously talked about cystic fibrosis, but there's so much more. Like, you are such an interesting person, and it's, I know that when people have asked me about coming on and talking about cancer, I'm like, but there's, I'm so much more than that. And I'd love you to know about this and not just this side of me.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, there's so many layers to a human being. You know, obviously CF is one of them, and it's something that will be with me. It's something that's driven me, but it will never be my definition. But I think there's also, like, yes, I love training, but I also love sitting down. I am a very strong person, and I am, you know, driven, and I don't ever give up. But I'm also extremely kind-hearted and extremely sensitive. And there's lots of things that I have to learn. Like, you know, I want to be the person I want to be, and I'm going to turn up as that person, even if the perception is different. And I think it's important to know, like, as we've just said, like, I myself have those days. I think people think, you know, on social media that I probably have my shit together, but I don't always. Sometimes I'm winging it. Sometimes I know what I'm doing. Sometimes it's about a series of events that come together due to hard work. I'm not sure I believe in luck. I believe in right place, right time, maybe. But it's a series of hard work that gets you to where you want to get to. And I think, you know, I think people need to realise, like, yes, they may see me as this one person, but there are so many different versions, which are all me. But it's very dependent upon, you know, how you wake up feeling that day, what you've got to do that day, what meeting you may or may not have. And to know, like, as human beings, we fluctuate between all of these people because that's just the way we are. But I think it's one of those things where, obviously, for so long, I had to be this strong person because I was so scared that if I wasn't, I would become ill and I would die. And so I know myself that there's things that I need to personally work on because I know that that isn't a connection. By being vulnerable and showing that side of me won't put me back in hospital. But for so long, I didn't know how to be. So, like, the perception of people probably have, oh, she's just really strong and she doesn't get affected by anything. And that's not the case.
Is that a big fear then that, say, you rested, that something's going to happen? Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, it's very different now because I'm on this life-changing medication. I've gone from being on 80 tablets a day to 3. It's altered my genetics so that I can breathe better. My lung function is 30% higher than it was. You know, my whole body works like a normal human being near enough. And so obviously I now can trust that I could have, I don't know, a month off training and I'd still be really well. Whereas before, it maybe wasn't that case. And I'd be so scared that if I sat down for too long that I'd lose grip and lose control. And so, like, I think you're forever learning yourself as a person because every experience you go through will alter you as a person. Probably for the better. If it's not for the better, then that's something that, you know, triggers will show you. But I think it's just really important because to show all sides of you, if you feel like you can, or work on doing that, because I think that people will resonate with that and it will be able to help people progress themselves and be like, oh, okay, well, I don't have to be the person that people think I am, because I am that person, but I'm also all these other people, depending upon what's going on and depending upon the way I feel that day.
Yeah, and maybe a bit more behind closed doors or behind Instagram, or, you know, that it's like whatever you're putting out, you've got the right to put whatever you want out, but don't forget about what it takes behind closed doors to get to that point.
Yeah, of course, like, you know, people just probably think, oh, okay, she gets up at 5, she gets to the gym for 6, and that's easy. Well, some days it's not easy. Like, I'm a firm believer of, like, discipline and routine, and, you know, discipline equals motivation, because that's, you know, it comes in full circle. If you're feeling unmotivated, you need to become more disciplined. The discipline will give you motivation, and vice versa. And so it's like one of those things where people message me a lot about, you know, how do you stay motivated? I'm like, absolutely don't. Like, it's rare that I will work off motivation. It's like, I had to be disciplined to get to where I am health-wise, like, mindset-wise, and just generally in my career. But having said that, you know, there is a time not to be disciplined too.
What is your next step? What is your next challenge? What have you got coming up?
Problem is, there's so many. Because obviously, where we haven't had the ability to do these things. And prior to that, my last challenge was paddleboarding from the Bahamas to Florida overnight.
How is that even possible?
It's a very long way.
Yeah, slightly.
I think it's 18 miles on a paddleboard through the night. I mean, one guy did get bitten by a shark, so that was...
Oh, my God!
I was assured that they're friendly though, and apparently this one was a baby shark, so it was all okay. He was, you know, he was fine.
Still a shark, still underwater, still don't know what's going on under there.
So I think it will be quite hard to top that one, because it was phenomenal, because obviously, firstly, the danger, weirdly enough, because you're on a paddleboard, you had a support boat, but essentially through the night on a paddleboard, you couldn't really see where you were going.
Why did it have to be in the night? Is that because it's not as busy?
No, it's because of the temperature in the Bahamas.
Right, okay. Yeah.
So like even like at night time, the sea felt like a bath. The outside temperature was really high. I mean, we had thunder and lightning because everything I tend to do, it rains or it's thunder or it's...
I'm seeing the pattern.
Yeah.
It rains first and then it's shining.
Yeah.
You're coming out shining.
So like, I feel like everything I try and do, especially over the last couple of years, it's been like, oh, the day before it's been bright sunshine. Oh, but today is 59 mile an hour wind and rain.
Just to make it that a little bit harder for you, a bit more challenging.
But I think that was probably one of my most favourite challenges, purely because if you just sit and imagine this, right? You're on a paddleboard in the middle of the ocean and there's no land anywhere to be seen, but the sun, the skies are clear and the sun comes up and all you can see is the horizon.
I mean, that is stunning. I can't stop thinking about the sharks. Yeah,
I honestly would be the biggest chicken.
And who I'm going to call in an emergency because there's no land around. But at the same time, what an experience.
Yeah. So obviously that was my last one. I'm actually planning quite a cool personal challenge around the perimeter of Lake Como. You had to be set properly, but I love Lake Como and it's one of my favourite places and I've got some friends there. And so I think it's going to be there maybe in the summer, but also I'm a believer in spontaneity. So you just never know what might come into my inbox this week or next week. And sometimes I'm just like, yeah, okay, cool. When am I coming?
Oh, wow. You are just such an inspiration. Like, I can't wait to just follow the rest of your journey and see where you go. I feel like I want to cram more into my days now. You've inspired me to do more.
Do you know what? One of my biggest fears is, as I've said, regret. And I would rather just fill my life with everything that feels right for me and something that's fun. And I just want to have so many stories to tell. So when you go to different places, you're like, oh, I did this thing. And they're like, you did what? And I'm like, yeah, I did that thing.
You've got loads in the bag, Sophie, that you can just have a chill out this year if you want. You've got loads of stories, loads of them.
I know, but I just know what I'm like. I sit down and I'm like, ooh.
What's next?
What is the biggest thing that has surprised you in this whole journey?
Do you know what? I think it's firstly the power to persuade people to come with me.
If we stay on this long enough, we're going to be packing our bags for somewhere.
Yeah, I feel like I'll be there.
But I think one of the nicest things that has happened out of this whole thing is that particular doctor when I was 19 who told me that I'd never achieve. About 2 years ago, before COVID happened, he came into my clinic room after avoiding me for years and years and years and went down on both knees and said, I'm so sorry. Please, can you help me now? And maybe you can help other people too. And then he was like, what am I keeping you well for? What trip are we preparing for? Let's do this.
Oh my God, I have got goosebumps.
Do you know, in all the guests that we've had, Sophie, there is always that same pattern that when people have been given a diagnosis or hit rock bottom, they've always come out and their view is to help other people. And I think that is one of the best things, to take the strength to help yourself, but then to continue that and spread that and help other people is just unbelievable. And I think that's the one thing that we hope this podcast brings, that we can, if it helps just one more person, that's our goal achieved, really. And I love that. I love that the doctor is asking you, you know, how can we help other people?
Yeah, and I think it's important to note, like, no matter who you are, no matter your story, you can help more people than you realise.
And it matters, doesn't it? Like, just small little things really matter in people's days, doesn't it? And you've defied the odds as well. Like, what an incredible thing to put out there, because, you know, we have statistics in science and, you know, the doctors and stuff like that, but when somebody goes and defies that, you don't have to just rely on that. It's like, no, it is possible. There is hope that the statistics might be against you, but it doesn't mean that it's not possible.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the reasons why I wanted to document this journey, because there's going to be people out there that maybe don't have my mindset or don't have support networks, because I'm a firm believer of those. And maybe, just maybe, by hearing something that I've said or seen something that I've done, it might just give them the courage to live life on their terms and give it a go.
One thing I do want to ask, all these events and traveling will cost a lot of money. If there's one person out there listening that wants to do something like this, are you funding this yourself, or how do you do it? Is it a sponsorship? Where could they go if they wanted to do this the way you do it?
So a lot of it has been self-funded. So I've paid for it bit by bit, or it's been a charity-based fundraiser. I have been fortunate to have a couple of trips paid for by different companies, which I know is very, very lucky. But a lot of the early ones, as I've said, like I was so determined and so passionate, and I thought it was the only way to survive, that I was like, I will work, I will save my money, and then I will book these trips far enough in advance so that I can pay them off bit by bit, because they are very expensive. But having said that, I am in the process of creating a business that does exactly that, that's very affordable. So hopefully eventually this year I will be able to help those people and make that their dreams come true by allowing an opportunity that isn't quite so expensive.
Oh, amazing. Sophie, you've been an incredible guest, and it just, I've said inspiring about 100 times, but I just, my vocabulary is not big enough I'm going to go to the dictionary now and just work out every single word that you are, and it'll be all the top 10 of the most amazing words ever. But how has that been for you talking to us? How is it? Have you enjoyed it?
Oh, I've had so much fun. I feel like, weirdly enough, that, like, we're all friends.
Oh, friends forever.
I feel like I've known you for like years and we're just having a nice catch up. So it's been really lovely. Thank you.
There we go. We're just having a cuppa and a chat. That's all it is. Getting to know you a little better.
Maybe one day we'll be on a mountain or a paddleboard together. Who knows?
Well, you never know. You know, I'll always invite you.
Let's just start at a cafe next time. Let's have an in-person cafe chat.
Maybe I should make it the mission to get you to come and do something.
Yeah, I'm up for it. I'm up for a challenge. If we can discuss it and start small.
Hey, we could do a podcast at the summit, so.
There you go.
Oh my God, let's do it. After Liz has had her twins.
Oh, I'm pregnant with twins, yeah, so.
Oh, exciting.
I won't be up any mountains soon, but I just look like a mountain.
She's got her own metaphoric mountain to overcome right now.
It's all right. We can do it on a paddleboard, and you can just sit and I'll paddle you along.
I mean, that sounds lovely. God. That sounds absolutely my kind of challenge. Well, Sophie, thank you so much for being our guest. It has been incredible. And cannot wait to put this out there. I think it'll just be so inspiring for everybody.
I think it'll help so many people. And I think we do take our health for granted a lot of the days. I know I do that, even though I've been through cancer. And I felt ashamed, actually, at the time of it took that for me to have self-care for myself and to really look out for myself. So you are an incredible, oh, I can't, what's another word for incredible and inspiring? Why do we only know two words?
Unbelievable, I know, unbelievable. I'm honestly,
oh, thank you. It's been an amazing way to spend my Friday, so
I'm so glad. And you carry on drinking that red wine.
I will, don't you worry.
Cheers to that.
And I can't wait to see where you go next.
Oh, thank you so much, it's been so fun.
Thanks for listening to Soul Story Club. We really hope you enjoyed listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast so it will automatically download onto your phone when there's a new episode. Oh, and don't forget to follow us on Instagram @Soul Story Club.